Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 8, verses 19 through 21. This is the word of the Lord. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." The word of the Lord, let us pray. Father, again, we come to something very simple, yet perhaps deceptively so. We pray that you would untangle whatever complication we add to this word, give us clarity of the word, understanding of the word, and the ability to follow through and to do as the word calls us to, but not in our own power, not for a second could we. We need your Holy Spirit. We ask for him now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, no one needs to tell you of the importance of family, especially here in Scriven County. We have big families, extended families. You'll notice that there aren't a whole bunch of surnames floating around here. You know, there's, well, I don't want to list names, but it seems like there's about 10 last names in all of Scriven County, and everyone's part of one of those kinds of families, or one of those families. Whereas my kin, my cousins, my second cousins, my other kin, and the reunion that's coming up, and people are very family-minded, family values, this love for family, this connection to family, the tightness of family, prevalent here, very common. And you've heard me speak of this in various ways, but let me ask, why is that common? Why is there such a strong tie within families here? What is that? Well, the connection and the reverence and esteem we have for family is part of who we are. It's how God made us. From creation, there is a priority and an importance placed on family. We see his plan for family in creation. In fact, there's going to be three C's I'm going to list for you here. Creation, covenant, commandments. All right? I want you to think of family in these three C's. Creation, covenant, and commandments. Creation, the mandate. Of course, when God made Adam from the dust and then he made the woman from his rib, he gave them the command to be fruitful and multiply. He told them to be fruitful, to have children. So God says, I want you to start out in a family. I want you to have a family. Propagate the race. That's God's vision. And so he wants generations, and he wants the human race to fill the earth that he's made. Blood relations. From the beginning, he saw mankind not as an individual. Remember, he said when Adam was alone, it wasn't good. He wanted him together. He wanted him grouped with the woman together so that they would be a family and create others. And that's how it's been since the beginning. Creation, God decreed. And from that, we know that there's nurture and care and love in this family relationship. That's very natural. Caring for children is not some higher or noble attribute, but very innate. It is very common and natural. Now, of course, you'll look at those who do not do it. You see those who neglect their children, and that's an aberration that is really is an extreme evil. But the most basic of mankind is the family connection, the family orientation, and the love for the children that result from the union of the man and the woman. That's just basic, right? Simple thing. It is interesting, though, that people will, or pastors will give sermons on family values. And then there'll be tears running down people's cheeks. Well, that was such a good sermon. We need to hear about family values and the basic things of family. It's like, do you really need to hear a sermon about that? I mean, like I said, this is innate. This is who you've been made to be. The man is made to be a father. The woman made to be a mother. And the children who are made in that union, who make up the family, who broaden and who are added to the family, they grow up and then they separate from the mother and father and they go and make their own family. And that's the way it is. It's so natural, so basic, so plain to our nature. Nothing more basic to mankind than the understanding of family. And so I say to you, creation guides our understanding of family. That's the first C. Then there's covenant. Covenant also guides our understanding of family. The covenant God made with Adam had family in view, like I just said, be fruitful and multiply, have dominion over the earth. And this, I guess we would say, some call it the covenant of works, but probably a better name for it is the covenant of life. Listen to my voice, do as I tell you, multiply. And he's thinking, okay, this is a covenant relationship, and it has family at the center. Now, when Adam fell, when the serpent deceived the woman, and Adam followed his wife into that deception, and they were kicked out of the garden, or just prior to being kicked out, God did make a covenant of grace with Adam. But that second covenant also had family in view, because he told the woman, the seed, your seed, woman, will crush the head of the serpent. So God is thinking generationally, he is thinking family. And all covenants in Scripture have family in view. Noah found favor with God. But when God flooded the world, he didn't just save Noah, he saved Noah's family. Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans and to leave his family, but God was establishing Abraham as the father of a family. And when he told him the promise of the covenant, he said, look up in the sky, and if you can count those stars, that great starry host that was not polluted by light as we have today, but when he looked up at that sky, you know, as Carl Sagan said, perhaps Abraham would think billions and billions of stars. And if that wasn't clear, he said, what about the sand on the seashore? Can you count that? That's how many children you're going to have. And the covenant is one of family. Moses did write Deuteronomy 6, which is the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and the instruction to teach children. Again, covenant and family. I'm going to mention Moses more so in the next C, the last one. But David, the covenant with David, from him would come that seed, that promised seed that Eve was told about, the Messiah. So his generations, again, here we are, covenant and family. And the Messiah was to come on the earth as children come, naturally, natural generation, ordinary generation. And the new covenant. The new covenant sign is baptism. The baptism replaces circumcision. And who is baptism good for? You and your children, the sign of the new covenant. Covenant households. And so you see that there is blessing and there are cursing and curses, and those things are assigned or attached to the character of a household. That's how covenants work. Rahab being the positive example, we see that she was faithful, let the spies in, hid them, and so she received the promise. They were faithful to her. She was saved. She was brought into Israel. She is actually part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And following that account in Joshua, just down the road, there's Achan, who was faithless and who betrayed, who stole things that belonged to God, and his whole family dies. Again, covenant and family. The connection cannot be broken. Everywhere there's a covenant, it's not just between one. It's a family involved. Generations are involved. And that's my point. Now, there's a lot more to say on all of these things, and I'm just breezing through because I want you to just get the C's here. Creation and covenant. Covenants guide our understanding of family. The last C is commandments. Commandments, laws. Right? Laws govern the family relationship. In Scripture, we have the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Now, that doesn't, in order, that doesn't come first, but we have to understand that the law existed before Moses wrote it down. Before it was codified, there was a law, the law of God. And one of those laws would have been something I would call innate, this understanding that we honor our father and mother. The family dynamic is governed by God's commandments. In Leviticus, there are many, various family commandments. A lot of them are about the sexual relationship that should not happen between family members. So the prohibition against certain incests. And God lists these relationships out saying, do not do this. This is not right. He's governing the family through commandments. There's also the levirate law. An unmarried brother would take his brother's widow. So a brother would marry his brother's wife had he died, and then he would raise up children for him. There is the law of the kinsman redeemer, just like Boaz and Ruth, and that's also connected to Rahab as well. But laws governing family. So if a woman is left without, then someone in the family needs to take the woman and raise up seed because of God's covenant and his commandments. There are laws concerning widows. You don't let your widows fly in the wind. You take care of them. God commands it. Now that's in the Old Testament, but it's also in the New Testament. If anyone does not provide for his own widow, Paul says, especially of those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay, actually, I inserted the word widow there, but it's in that context. Paul says, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The context is caring for widows. And I say that, and I want to emphasize that, because it's not the responsibility for us to take care of our slack nephew who doesn't want to work. It's not for us to take care of those who foolishly squander things, who ought to be able-bodied men, who ought to be able to be employed and to do something for themselves. That's not the responsibility Paul is talking about in that chapter. It's 1 Timothy 5:8. He's talking about widows, because he says if someone's not willing to work, they shouldn't eat, later on in Thessalonians. He's not calling us to take care of those who aren't willing to do for themselves, who aren't willing to work. He is calling us to take care of the elderly, weak members of our family, especially widows. God has designed and created the family. He makes covenant not only with one, but an entire family. He works through that family. He regulates that family through his law. And those are the three C's. You think of family, think of God's creation, think of his covenant, and think of his commandments. Now, like I said, I'm only scratching the surface of God's design and view of family. There is a lot more to say on these different categories. But what I've said, I want, for your purpose, to think about what the people speaking to Jesus have in mind. I want you to have a sense of where they're coming from. Jesus is teaching. Jesus is out and the crowds are around him and he's being pressed by the multitudes. Okay? And so this crowd is preventing, apparently, his mother and his brothers from getting to him. Every Jew understands the importance of family, right? Everyone in Scriven County understands the importance of family. Family, family! And they're like, Jesus, your close relatives, your mother, your dear sweet mother is trying to get to you, and this crowd is preventing you. You better go tell them, because Jesus more than likely will just drop everything to get to his family, to get to his blood relations, is what they're thinking. Who else does Jesus care about? Who's first in his heart? It's got to be his mother and his brothers, right? His sisters, right? His own flesh and blood. But no. Perhaps, to their complete surprise, Jesus does not rush out to go and see his family. In fact, he distances himself a little bit here. He says to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." My mother and my brothers. And you think, wait a minute, how many mothers can you have? I mean, you can have a lot of brothers, but how many mothers can you have? That's not what Jesus' point is. His point is his close relationships are not based on blood, are not based on biology. I know I just told you about creation. I just told you about the commandments. I just told you about the covenant. And all those things are related to family. But Jesus is saying, look, those who are related to me are those who hear the word of God and do it. Those are my family members. Those are the ones close to me, not blood relatives. And so the question we have to ask is, like, do we want to be part of Jesus' family? Do you want to be part of Jesus' family? And this may be offensive to us because we will say things like, well, blood is thicker than water. People are very committed to their families here in Scriven. For good or better or for worse. And it's not just here, it's in the South. And this is not an insult. Look, there's a lot of history in the South. There are people here who have farms that have been in the family for 200 plus years. Maybe before this was even a country, right? Before the Declaration of Independence, some of the families here have had roots and have connections, and that history runs deep. Those are thick veins that reach down and are anchored here, and that's not insignificant. In no way am I saying that it's wrong to esteem family and to love family. I think I have one of the greatest families in the world, and I show them off. I love my family, right? I'm pro-family in every way. But here's the thing. You can have those historical roots, or you can have a wonderful family with beautiful smiles. And if they're not in Christ, if those roots don't go back and anchor themselves in Christ somehow, if they're not there by faith, and if you raise a brood of vipers who hate Jesus, that's no family. Even though it's a family, so to speak, right? It's biologically a family. Jesus says, those who hear God's word and do it, those are my mother and my brothers. Those are the ones who are connected to me. Those are the ones whom I adore and love. Is that offensive? Is that offensive? It is to many. Now, I have to say, I was thinking about this and praying, and it seems to me that God has made some of the hardest things in Scripture easy for me. I never really felt like I was all that connected to a family. And so when I came to Christ, I knew I was giving up my family, but it wasn't like an especially close bond and relationship that I had. So to walk away and cut off from it, to me, seemed easy, and the prospect of Christ so much more attractive. You know, had I grown up in a Southern home where mom was always cooking apple pies and there was always smiles and we always gathered around the TV and watched the Bulldogs or whatever like that, maybe if we had those kinds of traditions, it would have been harder to shake from that kind of thing. I marvel. I was able to leave certain things behind. But I say to you, what was easy for me, even if it's hard for you, Christ is calling you to do. And that is to leave those biological family relations behind if they're not, as Jesus describes here, hearing the word of God and doing it. Now, I'm not saying you divorce your family or walk away from your family, but that those members of your family that deny Christ cannot be first in your heart. They are not your priority, and they cannot pull you around. They cannot be your boss. Christ has called you to something else. He has called you to another family. But blood is thicker than water. Well, so is oatmeal, you know? There's a lot of things that are thicker than blood, or thicker than water, right? Jesus did not disrespect his mother or his brothers. I'm not exhorting you to do that. He does have esteem for them, and Jesus honored his father and mother. Jesus understood how covenants work and how families are tied together. He understood the commandments. He gave the commandments. So in no way is he shunning, hurting, or despising his family. But Jesus is looking for spiritual family members, and that's what we ought to seek to be, members of a spiritual family, the connection through the Holy Spirit, the connection through Jesus Christ. Is greater than the connection of blood. Now, a couple things to keep in mind. John wrote, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The children of God are born of God. They are born of the Holy Spirit. They are reborn. They are not the children of natural generation. They can be. I pray that my children are covenant children. I believe they are. God has set them aside for a special purpose. I believe that regardless. I want them to rise up into it and to fully know Jesus Christ, embracing him, having true and living faith. I believe that for them, just as I said earlier. We have to believe things. But, you know, they need to grab onto Christ. They need to repent. They need to live for him. I can't live for them that they live for him. They need to. I do everything I can. All my teaching, all that I say to them is, you know, exhorting to this point. Cling to Jesus Christ. So the children of God are not born of blood or of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. In Luke 3, it was John the Baptist was speaking. People were coming out to be baptized. And he exhorts the people, "Bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" You know, the blood connection to Abraham is no sure sign of your being saved. It's, you know, your being born in the Christian family is no guarantee for these things. He said that God could raise up children for Abraham from the stones. Okay? Keep those things in mind. Now, this is a message to you. I'm not speaking generally. I'm speaking to the people in this congregation. I have exhorted some of you face to face on these things, and I want to reemphasize it. I want to speak to you. I've dealt with a lot of things here. You know that. You know you've heard me whine about it all, right? Treacherous and faithless elders and pastors, users, wicked people, the ungrateful, slanderers, haters, and all the like, and even more. But I think one of the things I've dealt with most often in this church is the slavish devotion to blood relatives and members, family members that you have. And I have dealt with this in my own life too. So here's my thought. Many of you, because of your heart and your love and your desire for the benefit of those you are related to, have become slavishly devoted to people who do not serve or honor Christ, and the same Jesus would say are not part of his family because they don't hear his word and do it. I don't say this to be harsh to you, to come across as cruel. I say this because I'm concerned for you. deeply concerned for you, that you not be like mothers who fuss for those who are not following Jesus, and you spend your time, resources, and all your heart essentially putting it into a bag with a hole in it. Now, let me say this. I'm not wanting to sound cruel. I know that I risk that by saying it. Let me just say from my own experience in our own lives how this has come to bite us and has really, really hurt us. When we, and I know I might cut this out of the sermon because I can do that. When we brought Chase into our home, you know, we loved him. We cared for him. We fed him. We got him a job. We did everything for my nephew that we could have possibly done. Everything. Exhorted him, and you came alongside us and gave him and blessed him and loved him. And you, because of what we did, you were right there loving us as true mothers and brothers in the faith. I mean, I praise God for you. You were right there with us caring for Chase. And when Chase, you know, flaked out and disappeared, he ran back to his mother. And his mother took him back with open arms. No rebuke. No, I can't believe you did this to my brother and his family and his church that I know of. Now, maybe she said those things, but she took him back. Oh, I'm going to take him to church. He went to church with me. I'm like, are you, what? Okay, let me say this. Because of this teaching of Christ, if any of you were in that same situation, you know, say, whoever, I don't care. That child would not have any safe harbor with me. You've dishonored the family of Christ. Those who honor Jesus Christ, you've basically urinated on them. You've slapped them in the face. You've spit on them. You're not going to find anything from me other than a stern rebuke that says you better change your ways. I mean, I think this most offensive. I'm not here crying about it to tell you this, but I think, though, that in your lives, you kind of entertain the same sort of character. Those who don't love Jesus, those who spit on the church, those who would use you in a heartbeat, those who don't have love for you, those who don't have love for Jesus, and you would bend over backwards like my sister for her son, and I say, just listen to what Jesus says. That's all I'm exhorting you to. That's all I can exhort you to. I'm not trying to browbeat you. I'm saying listen to what Jesus says. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. That's it. Simple. Family is important, and Jesus does not deny that. He does not deny it, and he would not call us to be disobedient to our fathers. He would not call us to forego covenant or commandment. But the people who are really high on blood connections and biology were the Jews who would claim Abraham. And what he said of them is, you're the children of the devil. You're the children of the devil. Now, Jesus is not calling us to give up praying or loving disobedient family members, children, brothers or sisters. He is not calling us to give up for them, give up on them. We continue to pray for them. We continue to call them to repent. We call them to repent. We don't validate them. That's what my sister did for her son, was validate his evil by taking him back in, right? Bringing him to church, as if you can just go to church after treating us in such a way, you know, validating such a thing. And I would say, if you're validating God haters, you are not helping them to understand their need of repentance. And that's my concern for you, ladies, mostly. Do not validate the one who rebels against Christ. Jesus gives us the instruction on who our family is. And I consider you, my family, more so than every other person I'm related to in blood, really. My sister, my dear sister, I love her. She is a Christian, and I love her. But I don't have many other blood relatives. And those that I do, I'm much closer to you. And you are my family in Christ. And so the question for us, really, and we'll end here, is what family do we want to be in? Where are we going to pour our affections? Where is our time? Where should we put our resources? In the family of the household of God, or in the house of the devil? Where are our affections? Where do our affections lie? And let me ask you this question. This is a real test of whether or not you want to be in Jesus' family. Who do you want to see most when you die? A lot of people talk about, I want to see even a beloved child, a great aunt, father, mother. Let me say this. The members of Jesus' family want to see Jesus more than anyone else. When I die, I don't even know if I'll think of anyone else. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like? You come into the presence of the Lord and his glorious light will overtake you. And who knows if you'll have any other thought except, holy, 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 I bow and I worship you. And maybe 10,000 years passes and maybe another thought will come into your mind. Who knows? I don't know. But those in Jesus' family want Jesus. Everyone else comes a distant second. Okay? And I don't say that lightly, because I know that some of you have lost dear ones, children, and you desire. But I say to you this, what Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And this is the strongest relationship we will have. We will have Jesus Christ as brother, and we will be his brother, his mother, his close family member, because we hear his word and do it. It's based on faith. It's based on faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus' teaching on family. We thank you for the scriptures and how they instruct us on family. But let us rightly prioritize family. Lord, let us be mother and brother to Jesus because we hear your word and do it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.